Mr. PvP. We're broadcasting live from Hudson. This is WGXC Accra.
The Wavefarm app is now in the App Store for users to download. It's only available on iPhones and iPads. An Android version of the app will be developed as soon as funding allows. The Wavefarm app allows users to listen to live audio from any of the Wavefarm web streams, including WGXC 90.7 FM, Standing Wave Radio, which was formerly known as Wavefarm Radio, Quintron's Weather Warlock, Zachpoff's Pond Station, and other partner streams. Users may also create custom playlists from the thousands of archived audio files. Wavefarm Transmit partners and WGXC broadcast partners may now also stream their own audio feeds from their iPhones and iPads using the app. Again, you can go into the App Store and search for Wavefarm Radio.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by the Healthcare Consortium, a rural health network dedicated to improving access to healthcare and supporting the health and well-being of the people in our rural community. Throughout 2018, the Healthcare Consortium will be celebrating 20 years of serving the residents of Columbia and Greene counties. To learn more about the Healthcare Consortium and its services, please visit www.columbiahealthnet.org or call 518-822-8820.
Let's give them something to talk about. A little mystery to figure out.
There we go.
Out.
That's the only thing I know. Welcome, everyone. Hey, our music wasn't queued up.
No, it wasn't.
Just realized that. So it is Wednesday, October 22nd. No,
actually, the 24th.
That too. Welcome, everyone. This is Something to Talk About with your host, Holly Tanner, and host
Justin Weaver.
So here we are. Sorry about that. I feel all discombobulated because there was no music, no intro music.
I know.
It's very weird. But Justin, you did
it. And it's dark in here. I think it's a full moon.
It's a full moon. That's what's going on.
So it's a little bit of everything.
Justin did an admirable job singing our intro song. So
can
thank
you turn
you.
This up too?
What?
Everything's like all discombobulated today. I feel like I don't.
Is that better?
I don't.
Is that
no,
you?
Not yet. How are
it's,
we?
It's
no,
up as
no.
far as.
Okay. Okay.
Oh, we just
there
now.
We go. Yeah. Okay. I think I'm good.
I turned us.
Okay.
Down.
Lots of technical difficulties here today.
That's all right. We're all good. We're all good. So yes, thank you for tuning in. We hope that see, I feel like I can't hear me either. There. Is that better?
Yes. Oh, that's better. Yeah, that's a lot better. Yeah, for both of us. Okay. Hi, everybody.
We're back. So last show we had John Faso in, who's running for Congress, and keeping with our political theme because Election Day is how many days away?
It is 12 days away.
12 days away. That was the voice of our guest today, Will Truitt. Welcome, Will.
Thank you, Holly and Justin, for having me.
Hey.
I appreciate
Thanks
it.
Thanks for being here.
Thanks for being here. So, yes, the last time we had John Faso on, who's running for Congress, and it's a wonderful interview. And so now we've got Will Truitt, who is running for State Assembly in the 106th Assembly District, which is most of Columbia County and most, if not all, of Dutchess
County.
It's
about half of Dutchess.
Half of Dutchess County.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's good. So welcome, Will.
Thank you. Yeah, so you want me to give a little bit of background
Absolutely.
Details?
Absolutely, yes, please. We know you're one of the youngest. You're very young sitting here.
Yeah, I am 23 years old. Most of the people down in Dutchess seem to know who I am already. I've been knocking on thousands and thousands of doors.
I was going
to
ask you about that. Your goal was 100 doors a day, right?
About 100 doors a day,
you
yes.
Doing that?
Some towns it's more difficult than others, but yes, we've hit about 10,000 doors now altogether
and
since
you say
we started
eating
this
like
campaign.
3,000 calories a day?
Well, I'm just a very skinny guy anyway, so.
I'm eating the other part to help him in his campaign.
Yeah.
I'm just like hoping he...
Oh my gosh.
I fit in this office.
So for those in Columbia that don't know me yet, I mean, I've been up here knocking on doors at least 3 days a week, spending a lot of time in the 11 towns up here. But my name is Will Truitt. I am a lifelong resident of Hyde Park down in Dutchess County, and that's on the southern end of the district for this assembly district. And grew up there, started working at Malloy Pharmacy when I was very young. My parents told me that, you know, if you want to get anywhere in life, if you want nice things, you have to work for it. So when I was 14, my dad, who was a police officer, he told me, let's go for a ride. We went for a ride, went to the local pharmacy, and he brought me in. I had no idea what we were there for. I picked up a job application, and I ended up becoming their newspaper boy for a few years there.
Oh, there you go.
And few years down the road, I started attending Marist College after I graduated from FDR as a finance major with accounting and economics also in my studies. And my first year, I reached out to Mark Molinaro. I thought, you know, I want to get involved in government. I've always had a passion for government and for politics. And I reached out to him, sent him an email. He said, we'd love to have you come in. So I went in and he accepted me to be an intern in his office, the county executive's office. And I was there for a year. I learned a lot about Dutchess County and about county government. And so I thought, why not give it a shot, run myself at the age of 19, ran for the county legislative seat in Hyde Park and Poughkeepsie, and I was successful. I won by 10 points that year, and I ran for re-election last year and won by double that, 20 points. And so here I am running for the assembly this year.
Very nice.
Well, you just covered about 10 of my questions.
Sorry.
We'll be back in 2 weeks.
Bye, guys. We don't know who our next guests are.
Just kidding. No, that's awesome. But yeah. For a young guy, you know, politics, that's what makes you driven to public service? And not that you're not the first young guy, but
yeah,
still.
No. I think Marcus kind of led the way on that down in Dutchess. But... You know, I've just always had a passion for watching the news and following government, seeing what's going on. I mean, even when I was young, I'd be looking up what the national debt clock, to see what our national debt is, to see it continually going up. And it's just scary seeing that and knowing that it'll be my generation that inherits all this. So just a combination of all that really led me to want to try and get involved.
Well, Will True, I do have the exact moment that you realized that you wanted to go
the
into
exact
politics.
Moment.
Yeah. You were age 10, and your dad was a police officer, and he was asked to serve as a bodyguard for President Bill Clinton during a speech at the FDR estate. You accompanied him, and you look back on that experience, and you said in an article that was written by Bernadette Hogan last year for Marist College's series For the Record, and you said, quote, seeing my dad interact with a leader who impacts nearly every life on this earth was a really remarkable experience for me. Regardless of my political affiliation, I appreciated his aura as a person and as a leader, and I thought, if this man can do it, why can't I?
Absolutely.
So that was that really the moment the political bug bit you?
It was, and actually I look back because I have the photo on my wall of me and Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton.
Yeah.
And I mean, I was 10 years old. I wasn't dressed up nice to go to that. I was in this blue sweatshirt that had a skateboard on it, and so, but no, really, that I thought that was the coolest moment of my life up to that point. And
wow.
and just seeing my dad be there, and I don't know, it really was a formative moment that made me think, wow, I could do this too, and I would love to be someone who is able to stand up and work for the people of our community.
Well, that's awesome.
So are you prepared to say on our show today we're going to get the scoop that you do have presidential aspirations?
That's always been the jokes, because I was class president back in school, middle school, high school.
Okay.
Became president of the school, student government, and all that, and everyone always said, oh, Will's going to run for he's going to be president someday. And in my graduation speech, I got to speak at our graduation, I said that at the end of my speech, said 2032, watch out when I'm
very
old enough.
Very good, you're hearing it live on the air.
Now, you were talking about going around and knocking on thousands and thousands of doors.
Yeah.
And I think you're kind of getting close to 10,000, right?
You're
over 6,000. And you, when you were running for Dutchess County Legislator, you adopted somewhat of an unpopular approach as your campaign strategy.
Yeah.
Because as you said, generally for Republicans, they go door to door to all Republicans and non-registered houses. And not Democrats, but your strategy was to go to everyone, and you actually focused on the Democrats, and that obviously worked for you.
Yeah,
are you doing the same thing in this campaign?
The exact same thing. You know, when you're elected to office, you don't represent one side or the other. You represent everyone, and I mean, that's a testament to how great Holly does here in Columbia. I mean, everybody loves her with the great work she does.
Well, people don't even want to run against her. It's
exactly.
Like, why bother? Because everybody loves her.
Yeah. So, but yeah,
it's
just so important to visit everybody. And I mean, sometimes I get the door slammed in my face. Oh, you're a Republican, go away or whatever. But at the end of the day, I want to represent everyone. I'm not here to represent just one side.
Yeah.
And so when I ran for legislator, I had people behind the scenes trying to tell me, oh, you're young. This is how you should run a campaign. Go knock on Republicans and independents. Don't waste your time with the Democrats. You're never going to win them.
Yeah,
that's not true. You visit your neighbors and you show them that you care and that you're there to listen to them and work on their behalf. and they may support you. So I like to visit everybody, and I've been doing it this race too.
That's good.
And you did say that you did the toughest part of your campaign, I think it was when you were running for Dutchess County legislator, was that it was actually from Republicans. You knocked on their door and they kind of laughed because you're so young, and they said that they had daughters your age. Mm-hmm. So what do you say to people that say you're too young and you can't do it, and you might be Dutchess County legislator, but this is apples and oranges? What do you say to that?
And I don't think it's at apples and oranges. You know, having a young person in there, having their voice in Albany, just as it is having it in Poughkeepsie in the county legislature, it's so important to have that perspective. Because as I said, it's the young people who will be inheriting the future. So we ought to have a voice in that. And really, at the end of the day, this is a seat where you're a representative. Your job is to be the voice in the chambers on behalf of the people that live in the district. And in this case, it's about 130,000 people in this assembly district. I will always be there to answer questions, to stand with the people who live in our district. If they have concerns, they come to me. I will be glad to sit down with them, talk to them about the issues. And hey, when I'm elected, I'll still be going door to door. I still did it as county legislator. You visit the people, update them on what's going on. And really, so I don't think age matters for something like this. You need to have someone who's honest and who truly will be a voice for the people.
You have said on your Facebook page that you are, quote, outworking your opposition, and your opposition is Dede Barrett, the incumbent, and you're outworking your opposition 100-1, but you're being outspent by enormous margins because you're up against a very wealthy incumbent with strong ties to millionaires from New York City, Boston, and Los Angeles. Do you think this election is going to come down to money and financial contributions?
I certainly hope it doesn't. I mean, and I stand by the statements that I made. There's really a tale of two campaigns here. They're being run two totally different ways. Mine is that of a grassroots campaign. I'm out knocking on doors, as I said, and I'm going to every single town that's in this district, all 20 of them, meeting people. I don't care how long the driveway is or how far apart the houses are. I'm going and I'm speaking to the people. I'm attending events. I'm out in the neighborhoods meeting the people who live in this district. I have not raised much money. I've raised some small local dollars from family and friends. I just had a fundraiser in Poughkeepsie the other day, and it's $40 to attend. I had a nice little crowd of just people that I grew up with and people that I've come to know since getting involved in government. Whereas my opponent has, if you look at her campaign finance filing report on the New York State Board of Elections page, she's raised hundreds of thousands of dollars. And you look at the addresses where this money's coming from, you see 4,400, which 4,400, for anyone who doesn't know, that's the max you can donate to this race as a personal contribution. She's getting that many times. You see that on down, up and down her campaign finance filings, all from New York City, and quite a few from Boston, LA, out in California. And that money, I don't believe, belongs in this race. This race, the money that's in this race should be that of the voice of the people who actually live here. I don't see how New York City money belongs in this race at all. So I'm being massively outspent. I was told up to last week she had spent over $135,000 on TV commercials. You know, I don't have $135,000.
I don't know if I've seen one.
I've just seen Fasso and Delgado all the time.
I'll be at home and it'll be late at night. I'm watching the news, whether it's CNN or Fox News, and I see her commercials come on. My mom loves HGTV and Food Network, sees it on there all the time.
HGTV.
Yeah.
How do you feel then about campaign finance reform? Are you what's your stance on that?
I think we really need meaningful campaign finance reform. We haven't seen it. We see people propose it up in Albany and federally, but there's never any teeth to it. I mean, you look at one area, we need to close the LLC loophole. That's one huge thing where money can be funneled through companies into candidates. And I just think that there needs to be real action taken. But that's the thing, is most of these elected officials depend on all this money to get elected, so they're not going to fight against it. So that's why I'm running with very little money. I have no special interest whatsoever besides just the people that I'm meeting while I'm going door to door. So I will fight for campaign finance reform when I get there to Albany.
Very good.
You both made the paper today, Holly Tanner.
I heard that.
And Will Truitt.
Oh, yes.
There's an article in there on both of you. Holly's up for re-election, of course, county clerk here in Hudson and for all the county.
Happy to be here.
Will Truitt, of course, is facing Dee Dee Barrett. I had to put...
But you have a correction,
the
don't
register
you, Justin?
Star to
on
task.
Notice, yeah. Register star, listen
it
up.
It does state that Dee Dee Barrett has been an assemblywoman since March 2012 when she defeated current Republican gubernatorial candidate Mark Molinaro, but that is not true. Barrett actually...
Fake news, people.
Fake news.
And we were saying, you know, just reading an article, and people that are not political, you read an article, right. and it gives a certain impression.
Right.
And like, wow,
like
she...
she'd be a governor candidate.
Right, and I mean, I saw the debate last night with Cuomo, and I was telling you off the air, I wouldn't want to debate Molinaro, and I think I could debate anybody. So yeah. I was like, I
He's
read
good.
That Barrett defeated Molinaro. I was really shocked, but in actuality, Barrett actually defeated Richard Wager in the 2012 special election to fill the vacancy created when Mark Molinaro resigned after being elected Dutchess County Executive.
That's right. Mm-hmm. So that's, do your research. Research is important.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. News.
Now, you are, and can you talk about who you're endorsed by and what lines you have? And yeah. I have learned the difference between endorsements and party lines today, and I thought they were one and the same, but they're not. So why don't you...
How'd you learn that, Justin?
I did my research.
Oh.
And I'm comparing sites.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
And I actually called the New York State Board of Education, New York State...
Board
of Elections and the local Board of Elections on my lunch break.
Very good. Thank you, Hunter, clarifying that.
Go
ahead, Will.
There are eight parties in New York State that appear on the ballot. I have the support of the Republican, Conservative, Women's Equality, and the Reform Lines. So that's where my name will appear. So it'll be on the ballot four times? Under New York State Assembly 106th District.
Right.
And so people will understand what that means. You've actually, by law, earned the right to be on those lines.
Yes.
It's not the same as having a party endorse you.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's where my confusion was. Mm-hmm. I thought because your name is there, that means you're endorsed by that party. No, you've won the right to be on that line.
And so we had actually a couple of primaries on primary day back on September 13th. It was the Independence Party primary and the Women's Equality primary. Well, the Independence primary, it came down to about 5 votes is what it came down to on election day. We were up by 3. And just so everyone's aware, this is like, it was like 200 to 197 or something, or 170 something.
Right.
So it's really low turnout.
I think it came down to 1 vote with the absentee ballots being counted.
That was 3.
Was it 3?
Yeah.
I know it was 3 at one point.
Yeah, and we were up by 3. Mm-hmm. And then after absentees were counted in Dutchess, we were still up by even more than 3. But then absentees came in through Columbia.
Yeah.
And we were not able to carry it. So we did not end up securing the independence line, which I was pretty upset about. I've had that line both times I've run for county legislator, and I think I represent people in the Independence Party well. I think it's so important to have someone who's an independent voice, and so that didn't work out, but we did in fact win the Women's Equality line, that primary. That was a very small turnout. 12 people came out. We won on that line, and it's through going around and meeting the people. I met the voters in the party, and they believed in having a young candidate run. They wanted to see new blood up in Albany, and so they got behind me.
And typically it does intimate that the party whose line you have does endorse you.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the minor parties, it's a little bit there is a slight difference, but you know, to get one of the major lines, just to clarify a little bit more, you know,
like Republican or Democrat,
right? You're not running around getting the number of signatures on your own. The party behind has to work for you was endorsed by the Republican Party in Columbia County and the Republican Party in Dutchess County, because there were actually a couple of candidates who were interested, and it was decided that Will would be the best candidate.
Yeah.
So the major parties usually do endorse somebody, and then they help them obtain the right to be on the line. So probably the slight nuances with politics, but just to clarify. So, and the Conservative Party as well.
Reform.
They endorsed Will. The Reform Party endorsed you, and then you get the line.
Yep.
You help, you know, circulating petitions to get the line. So
I have a tricky question for you from local Charlie Ferrucci, who is an advocate and activist, a gay activist, equal rights activist, locally here in Hudson. He wants to know why you're running on Cuomo's women's equality line, which is supposedly pro-choice and progressive.
Mm-hmm. Well, really, at the end of the day, it's I visit everybody. I visit all the voters. I visit people even if they're in the Working Families Party, which tends to lean to be more socialist. I am not a socialist. I'm as far as it comes from being a socialist. But I think it's important to meet with everyone. And at the end of the day, I met with the people in the party, and they were supportive of me. And that's what it came down to. And I'm honored to represent them.
Good answer. Now, I happen to be gay. I don't know if you could tell. everybody seems to know. Trump wants to change the right to gender expression, thereby rolling back protections of transgender people. Do you agree with that, and where do you stand overall on LGBTQ issues?
Yeah, I don't even know why that's even a focus of his. I think there's much bigger issues he should be focusing on right now. It's not really something I've looked into much, but I think everyone deserves equality. Everyone deserves to be treated equal in this country. I mean, that's what America is.
Yeah.
No matter who you are or what you stand for, whatever, I think everyone deserves equality.
And you really were instilled with those values from your mom and from your dad. And there are, I have here somewhere, the three rules that you live by. Okay. Treat every person you meet with respect. Nothing in life will ever be handed to you. And strive to be the very best at everything you do. What can and will you do to instill these beliefs in the younger generation and possibly change the labels like the young people are lost, or the young people are lazy, or the young people are trouble? What can you do to help instill your beliefs that you live by and change those labels?
Yeah, so, I mean, I think really it comes down to helping our children when they're in their formative years, when they're really young. My mom was a stay-at-home mom. She was always there for me. My dad, a police officer, so a lot of those values he kind of passed along to me, too, of community, caring about everybody, and never holding anything against anyone, just always respecting everyone. So I got that from my parents. I think the best thing that government can do is we can provide a good example for our kids. I think where we've gone with all this fighting and name calling and all this, it does not look good for
it's
our kids.
Helpful,
it doesn't make anyone want to get involved in government.
Right.
I mean, when, like for myself, I get involved in government, and my first election, which I was 19 years old, lived at home with my parents, of course, 19 years old, there were mailers going out saying, Will Truitt lives at home with his parents, and just all these awful things attacking. And I was working, I was going
like
to,
you're 50.
I was, and at the time I was going to, I was going to college full time, with two majors, and I was working two part-time jobs. I was working at CVS and working at the mayor's post office delivering mail. And there's another mailer that goes out saying, his only experience is working for CVS and at the post office at Marist. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Yeah,
so it makes it so young people don't even want to get involved in government. I mean, and so I think we really need to set a better example. All this fighting.
Yeah.
Set a better example. All this fighting and all this name calling, and it doesn't belong in politics. And then just getting back to helping our youth. We need to do our community colleges.
It's like, that door. Nothing personal.
I think we're good. So, like in Dutchess County, we continue to invest further and further in Dutchess Community College. It's one of our greatest assets. We're investing in our engineering program there, in our nursing program, our IT program, and it's just so incredibly important that we invest in education.
Well, it's good, Will, that you weren't scared away by the.
No, negativity in your first race. No.
Was there ever any talk of a debate of getting together with?
See, I had known in the past that the Poughkeepsie Journal had always hosted one.
Yeah.
In every election that Assemblywoman Barrett's been in, they've always had one, and it's getting kind of late. So about at the 3-week mark last week, I reached out to them. I said, hey, when are we having this debate? I'm really looking forward to it. And they said, oh, well, sorry, Will, we don't have the resources for it this year. I mean, give me a break. You don't have the resources for it this year. This involves sitting down at a table and putting a camera on and just letting us say who we are and what we stand for an hour.
Right.
And so I was hoping we could have that.
Wow.
And it stinks. Now we're down to 12 days left. Right, so how do you put something together?
Should we offer up our show?
We'll do
a special show at a special time.
Sure.
Have a debate.
Absolutely.
Right, so if anybody can get a hold of Dee Dee Barrett, Will Truitt.
I would love to.
Laying down the
the gauntlet?
The offer to debate.
It's an offer.
And we'd love to have you guys. That'd be great.
In good faith. I mean, I think it is important. You saw with the debate last night with the governor and Marcus, and there's been several Faso and Delgado debates. Mm-hmm. It is important for people to try at least to, you know, when it's civil discourse, it's always good.
Yeah.
When you know, each candidate is allowed to express their thoughts and opinions, you know, mm-hmm. not talking over each other and name calling, but you know, it can be a good thing, and it is important for people. I mean, Justin, you had an excellent you wrote about it on your Facebook page about one of the Delgado Faso debates that, you know, was important to hear. You had we had hosted Faso, so you had some idea of what he stood for, but you know, it's good to hear right from the horse's mouth, if you will.
And I think people should pay attention to that. There's so many people that just watch the commercials and see the ads on TV,
which are so wasteful.
Put the money into fixing Columbia Street.
Anything.
I mean, our roads here are horrible, and I don't know why there's always a problem with Columbia Street.
And look, you can't even believe the newspapers, because they would have you think that Dee Dee beat Marcus, which is not true.
Yeah, and no offense to the Register Star, but the facts are facts, and I'm going to call you out whenever I can. Mm-hmm. That's just what I do.
That's what he does.
But we're getting. Did we pick a song?
I don't know where we are. We did not pick a song. Would you like to pick a song for our break?
Man. Oh, I don't know.
Putting you on the spot.
I don't know. What are the options?
It was funny though. Before you said you have no special interests, and I wanted to say, well, wait, you do. You must have some special interests. Like, what's your favorite movie?
Oh, I've got.
We
that.
Always ask these.
Yeah, I've got a bunch of those.
Really important questions, like what's your favorite color and what's your favorite movie? What are your hobbies? You must have hobbies other than politics.
Well, I do love baseball and softball, so I do play. I belong to the Hyde Park Baptist Church, so I'm in our league there.
Okay.
So I love that. I love researching politics and government and looking at polls and all that. That's a lot of fun.
Okay.
I don't know. Yeah, it's a lot of politics.
So
it's
all politics.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, but no.
I'm Thurston.
I am an avid baseball, basketball, and football fan. So and UFC fighting. I love that,
I like
too.
UFC
whenever there's any big events on, I'm always watching it. So,
very cool. Yeah. Very good. All right. Yeah. So you don't have a song to choose?
Any song. How about a song that relates to your campaign?
Oh,
how about something that sums it up in a song?
Oh, man.
Don't Stop Believing?
I guess... Man, I don't know. I feel like I'm going to be embarrassed by the song I pick. I don't know.
Okay. Well,
I was talking about that the other day. We have the Alexa at home, and I'm always like, I feel like Alexa's judging me.
Like, really?
Yeah,
okay,
really,
I guess I'll play that.
That's the song you want to listen to.
I guess there's this old... So I'm young, so I like some more of the newer music. Okay,
this
so...
It's a judgment-free zone.
There's a song called It's About Time, and who sings it? I can't even think of them off...
I think Google will tell us. Well, while she's looking for that...
Yeah.
You were saying your first foray into politics happened when you were age 18, and then you were interning for Mark Molinaro, and he's now running for governor.
Mm-hmm.
And he became, Mark Molinaro, kind of became a mentor to you and taught you a lot about how government works.
Yeah.
And Mark has been quoted saying, quote unquote, "I wish I could say he reminds me of myself at that age, but he actually reminds me of a better version." Tell us what that opinion that he has of you means to you, and just in general, what kind of guy is he, and what he means to you in your campaign.
Mark Molinaro is a great man, a decent man, and when you see all the things that go on behind the political scenes, you see how some people they just put on this costume over themselves. Mark Molinaro is Mark Molinaro. He's a good man in his heart. And I am just blown away by when he made that comment when I was first running for office. And I look up to him. I really do. Similar to my father. My father is the man that I look up to most of my life, but Mark Molinaro was a man that I look up to also, just because of all the things that I have seen him do for the people of Dutchess County. in the time that he's been county executive. I was fortunate when I was interning in his office to go on car rides with him. We would go to from event to event and just see how compassionate he is as a human being and how deeply he cares about the people. And it's just something that I hope to emulate someday.
Well, when I'm in office. I think you're doing a good job of emulating that. And we did have Mark on our show, and I do agree with that summation of his character. Did you find something, Holly?
Is it Young the Giant?
Yes, that's Young the Giant. Yes, that's it, yeah.
I think we found a song.
I did find it. So we should say this is 90.7 FM, WGXC. You are listening to Something to Talk About right here, live local. I believe, are we still in our...
We're not still doing the pullover
quest
drive, but we are still accepting donations, and we're still looking for sustaining supporters here at WGXC. You can always donate by going to www.wgxc.org/donate, or you can always call the pledge drive number, which is 518-697-7400. Any donation helps shows like ours, Something to Talk About, to remain on the air, and we don't want to go anywhere, so please call and donate today.
But we are going to go somewhere right now, but we'll be back with more from Will Truitt. Thanks for tuning in. I'm going to see if I can get this to work in spite of the full moon, so we'll be back.
Everybody come on, delay.
Okay, we are back. That was Will's song choice. Very good one, Will. Very nice.
Yep. I was put on the spot for it, so that was what came to mind.
It's about time, and it is about time, isn't it? Yes. Yeah. Very good. So welcome back to Something to Talk About with Holly and Justin, and we are here in studio live with Will Truitt. So, Will, you've been telling us about your campaign and why you're doing this and some of your issues. So, but let's talk a little bit about, I know you currently you serve as a legislator in Dutchess County. So
yeah, I'm in my third year, my second term in the Dutchess County Legislature.
And for so which district do you represent?
It's the 7th district. There's 25 in Dutchess. I'm the 7th, which is most of Hyde Park, the town of Hyde Park, and then a slice of the town of Poughkeepsie.
Nice. Yep. And I believe I in speaking with you several different times, I've heard you say that that's a pretty heavily Democrat district.
It's a district that had been Democrat for a decade before me, and I came in. No one expected me to win. I was in a Democrat district running against a popular Democrat incumbent. But, hey, I went and I visited everybody, and I promised them I'm going to be your voice in the legislature. And I've followed through on that.
Right. So what are some of the things? Justin, you mentioned there's a law.
Oh, yes. You're very passionate about Bailey's Law, and I know that you've come out publicly saying that Dee Dee is dragging her heels, in, even though she said that she's going to do something regarding this. Why don't you tell the listeners what Bailey's Law is and why it's important to you?
In Bailey's Law, we're trying to get as many signatures as we can to the governor so that we can get this moved along in New York State. So basically, a little bit of background on it is there's a boy named Bailey Bates who was 18 years old and had autism, and he was taken advantage of by a few classmates of his to transfer some of his disability money to them. And so they stole from him, and he ended up feeling, once family members found out, he felt guilty about the whole thing, and he ended up going and he committed suicide.
That's so sad.
And it's terrible. And these two individuals are essentially getting a slap on the wrist for their involvement in this, and it is not right at all. The punishment needs to fit the crime, and that's what Bailey's Law essentially is. And so I'm entirely advocating for it, and I'm proud to stand by his mother and his family and support it. And I know that originally, when approached about it, Assemblymember Barrett was opposed to it, was not responding to their attempts, and so, but after I ended up coming out and saying how in support of it I am and saying she should, and people were calling on her, she comes out and she supports it, but it ended up getting nowhere. It didn't get out of committee in the assembly. So it's as though it was just dragged along to say, oh, we're supporting it,
right,
but it went nowhere in the assembly.
Right.
Yeah.
Huh. How do you feel about that, Will, as someone who hopefully will become a member of the assembly minority?
Yeah.
You know, how do you feel about the difficulties that you'll face, the challenges? I know Jake Ashby is undergoing that right now, and Chris Tague, who are other two representatives in Columbia County. You know, I mean, is that an impediment to running? How do you view that?
I don't think so at all. I mean, the breakdown right now, out of the 150 assembly seats, there's about 110 Democrats to only 40 Republicans. So, of course, it seems difficult for a Republican to get anything done in the New York State Assembly, but that's not how I operate. I don't operate simply as a Republican. I operate as someone who, we're 150 colleagues is what it'll be in the Assembly, and this is something that I am truly passionate about and believe in, and I will sit down with whoever I need to, any of my colleagues, all my colleagues, to talk to them about this and tell them how important this is. I'm not just going to sit down with my conference. I'll sit down with people on the other side of the aisle, too, and talk about it.
That's good.
You brought something up on your Facebook page, and doing research, I found this, and this is another tricky question. Do you want to address the lawsuit that was filed against you by Dutchess County Democratic Elections Commissioner Marco Caviglia regarding billboards and palm cards that were put up and handed out before the primary?
Yeah.
Because I saw that, I didn't know if I was going to ask that, but I saw that you were talking about it on your Facebook page.
Yeah.
And I figured, why not ask you so you can clear it up?
No, I'd be happy to. So, as we said before about the primary that I was in for the Independence Party primary, we had a billboard customized. A friend of mine, he's very good with the graphic designing and all that. I'm awful at that, so that's not something that I'm able to do. And we had purchased a few billboard locations across the district so that we could put a billboard up. And so being that the billboard that we had purchased was for October 1st, so that our billboards were going to be going up October 1st, we needed to have these ready. The election was on September 13th. We were up by the 3 votes, and the results were not made official until about September 30th or so. So we had already had the billboards printed, and so they did go up indicating that we had the independence line. But immediately, as soon as we realized, even before the billboards went up, we realized that, okay, we need to change this because that's not accurate. And we had the stickers printed out, and they ended up going up a couple days later. So I think it's just them looking, they have nothing else to go after me on, so they're trying to paint me as something that I'm not.
Is this something that's still going on that you have to deal with, or
I have not been contacted by anyone. Okay. New York
so
State
it might just be a scare tactic.
This is only something that I've heard on social media. No one's ever reached out to me to say,
really?
"Oh, you're under whatever, under investigation or whatever they do."
Oh,
that
Clark.
I haven't been. No one has contacted me or anyone in my campaign. So I have no idea what any of that means.
It's sad when sometimes
we corrected this ourselves.
Yeah,
I mean,
right. It's not about the job or the person who wants to do the best job. It's about the silly politics behind the scenes to try to prevent someone from taking my job.
Yeah, and as you'll see on the palm cards too, our palm cards, because I had independence listed on it.
Right.
I've always been supported by the party.
Yeah.
You look at the palm cards I brought in for you.
Yeah.
In place of independence, it says women's equality, because that's the party that we're being supported by. Not the independents, so it was all corrected immediately. It's just something they were looking to go after me on, and I don't know.
I know one of your major standpoints with your campaign is putting a cap onto the term limits.
Oh, term limits, yes.
So in essence, people can't continuously be the assembly person for the district.
Yeah,
that there would be a cap, and is the cap 2 years?
Well, it's 2 year terms right now. I think in an ideal world, I think it's 3-4 year terms would be something better. I mean, not to mention the 2 year terms, it makes you're running every other year,
right?
And so, what does the focus become for the candidates? I have to raise this money for next year so I can run again, and that's all.
Yeah.
That's all they care about.
Right.
So I think 4 year terms would be better, and I think there should be a cap on how long an elected official can serve. And I just think that's because you need new blood. You need to have that. It needs to cycle. There needs to be a recycling. We need to have new ideas in there. And when you just have the same people in there over and over again, it becomes more so about them and them holding their office and them getting retirement benefits and all this.
Right.
It no longer becomes, how can I best represent my towns?
It wasn't intended to be a job, a full-time job. It was supposed to, you were going to go up and do the work of the people and then go back to your farm or your job, whatever.
Exactly. Exactly.
When this form of government was initially started.
And I actually sponsored a bill in the county legislature down in Dutchess with a colleague of mine. We brought forth term limits, and it ended up getting shot down.
Uh-huh.
Why? Because politicians don't want term limits on themselves often, but it's something that I will absolutely fight for as soon as I get there to Albany. And I know it's something that our gubernatorial candidate, Mark Molinaro, is in favor of as well, which, I mean, is another, it's if we can have him up there in Albany advocating for that too, I think we might be able to see some change.
You can see a lot of positive change, absolutely.
Yeah.
What else, Will? We wanted to talk about the spending, right?
Yeah.
Taxpayer dollars. You want to fight out of control spending and scrutinize every expenditure of taxpayer dollars. What's your ideas about that?
Yeah, so when you look at the New York State budget, it's $170 billion. There's only one state that's higher, and it's California, and they have twice the population we do, and theirs is only a little bit higher than ours. But when you break it down, I did a little analysis of it all. You look at every state's budget compared to their population. We're spending about $10,000 per resident of New York State that in our budget. Whereas a place like Florida, which is the most comparable to New York in population, they have about 1 million more people than us, but their budget is less than half of ours. They're spending about $4,400 per person. And it just goes to show, this is a huge reason why it's not affordable in New York State, because the money that the New York State Assembly and the governor keep putting forward, these budgets, with all these increases, I mean, it has to come, the money has to come from somewhere.
Right.
And so it's coming from the taxpayers. So we really need to scrutinize every single dollar that we're spending. I mean, there, you look at the budget, there are billions of dollars tucked away that aren't really given any specific purpose at all besides economic development. And, and we see where a lot of that money's going.
Yeah.
It's going to these, to friends of Andrew Cuomo.
Wasted. Who,
exactly.
Yeah.
And these are a lot of these projects are failing. You look at the Buffalo Billion, the, the money we're spending out there creates no jobs, and but it costs the state $1 billion. And that, where's that money coming from? It's coming from people who live in the 106th Assembly District, people who live all across the state.
Right.
So we need to be much more careful about how we spend money.
But now if you watched the debate last night, it was said by the governor that he's cut taxes or something. The spin was enormous, wasn't it?
It's like, a huge spin. I don't even know how you can try and spin that. He says Dutchess County is raising taxes 58%, but the New York State is reducing. Andrew Cuomo said it's the counties. It's them who are causing all the... It's insane with all these unfunded mandates that are pushed down on the counties from him, from the state, that's thrown down to the counties. I mean, you look at Dutchess County, 70% of our tax dollars that we raise, all unfunded mandates from New York State. So only 30 cents out of every dollar, tax dollar that we raise, is actually discretionary for the county. 70 cents is already dictated by New York State that it has to be spent in. And so we,
that
needs to change.
That's pretty scary. That does need to change.
What is the Startup New York program commercials? You talked about millions of dollars wasted on those.
Yeah, I actually haven't seen those in a few months.
It's been a while.
But but I mean, that was that's a perfect example of another failed program where all these jobs are promised in New York State, and it was a failed program that created barely any job. For every job that was created, it costed the state like $100,000+, and just so inefficient and ineffective. But yet, these commercials, which cost somewhere in the ballpark of $50 million, they're running on TV saying, Startup New York program and all the great things happening in New York. I mean, it's just a clear example of wasted money that should be going either into education for our kids or should be going back to the taxpayers.
You are one of your talking points on your website under the issues is strengthening our youth, and you say that our youth needs much better education and more available programs to expand their learning. Do you have any specific plans on what you're going to do to make that more readily available?
And as I said before, we need to support our SUNY schools and our local community colleges, because that's where a lot of our kids go to get an education. And we don't even just have to invest in them. We have to invest in the trades. There are so many trades jobs available out there for our students and for our young people. And actually, I heard a report that there are thousands of jobs open that these employers are looking for people, but they can't find them because the young people don't have the skills for these. So we need to invest in those kinds of trade schools so that we are very prepared, that our young people are prepared to take on these roles in these jobs.
Another key point that you talk about is protecting our Hudson River and our environment as a whole for future generations. What do you have planned to do that?
Yeah, I just think the Hudson River is the most important asset that we have here in the Hudson Valley. I mean, you look at like our tourism in Dutchess County, it accounts for $500 million in revenue in our local economy. So the Hudson River, I mean, one thing that I worked on in the legislature, I signed on to a memorialization to keep the oil barges off the Hudson River, because that's the last thing. I mean, we're working on all this cleanup. The last thing we need is an oil spill on the Hudson River. So just things like that. I mean, ensuring that there's no pollutants going in there, holding companies accountable, just so that we can keep our environment clean. Because this environment, we have one environment, and we need to keep it clean for our future generations.
Don't get another one, that's right.
No, exactly. Once it's gone, it's gone, and we won't be here for that, so...
Well, you know, as I'm sitting here, I'm impressed because you seem like a very confident person and an optimistic person. However, I found that you've been quoted saying that you are always pessimistic.
Yes.
And you like to be because it makes you work harder and you don't take anything for granted. Are you pessimistic about this election? And are you pessimistic about the future of New York?
Hey, for this election, this is a David versus Goliath, really. When you look at the role that money plays in politics and how incumbency really favors a candidate. So I look at it as that.
But you have that other.
But I have the attitude that I am going to be the David. I'm the underdog.
You were with the county legislator.
Exactly.
You defeated an incumbent that you weren't supposed to defeat.
Exactly.
On paper.
Exactly. And that's why I like to be pessimistic. It keeps me true to myself, and it makes me know that I can't give up. You can't quit fighting. You might in the back of your mind think you're ahead, but you can't actually act like that. You have to always fight from behind. And that's how I'm fighting this race. And New York, I mean, there isn't the greatest picture being painted right now for our state, but the only way we're going to change that is we get new voices up there and, frankly, some young blood up there so that we can make a difference. And I think Mark Molinaro can lead that way, and I'm hoping to join him up there for that.
Very good. Yeah. Will you keep campaigning right up until day 11?
I will keep campaigning
up until
until 9 p.m. on election day when the polls close. I'll be out. I'll be making phone calls. Actually, for the independence primary, one of my poll watchers told me, this person didn't vote. I ran to his house at 8:50 p.m. and I said, hey, you need to get out and vote. I picked him up in his pajamas. He was eating yogurt, and I drove him to the poll. He got in there a minute beforehand, so I'll be doing the same thing for this election.
You're very passionate about it. That's exciting
to
see.
He's like the male Holly Tanner.
Awesome.
Well, that's quite the compliment.
You did touch on that you did graduate with honors from Marist College, mm-hmm. and you earned a bachelor's degree in business finance and minors in accounting and economics.
Yep.
You are a business assistant at Bridgeview Excavation.
Yes.
And you're also a certified mortgage loan originator.
Yes.
And this is all in addition to being a Dutchess County legislator. Mm-hmm. Will you have time to be an assemblyman for the 106th district, or will one of those other titles have to go?
Oh, my number one focus, if elected to this office, is this office. That is going to be my one thing that I will be working on, and that will be being the assemblyman of this district. That will be my first priority and my only priority, besides loving my family and enjoying time with them, of course.
Right.
But yes, I will absolutely guarantee that is my one priority that I will have, and I will have plenty of time to do that.
Do you have any siblings? Good.
Yeah, I do have a younger sister. She attends Dutchess Community College. She's 19.
And is she inspired to go into the political arena like
no,
you?
No, not at all. No one in my family has ever been in politics. On my dad's side of the family, everyone is in law enforcement. My uncle was the chief in Red Hook.
Dad,
a canine sergeant in Hyde Park. Now he's part-time down in Fishkill.
Oh, nice.
And then on my mom's side of the family, my mom has a bunch of sisters, and they all took care of their
homemakers,
children, homemakers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Admirable career.
Yeah, so really, and then the other side is just, it was plumbers. So really, there's plumbers and there's law enforcement in my family. I decided to run for office for God knows what reason.
And Hillary Clinton, apparently.
Yeah, I guess so. But my sister, no, she's not. She votes. I make sure she votes.
I bet you do.
But I don't think she's one to run for office.
Yeah.
Even though I would love to encourage her, too. I think she would do great.
But, yeah. Oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
What other news do you have that you would like to share
with us,
Will?
I guess I didn't really hit on what I've accomplished in the legislature so far.
Right.
So the two budget cycles that I've gone through so far, and we're coming right up into another.
Right.
So right after this election, we're right into the budget cycle in Dutchess County. I'm the vice chairman of the Budget Finance Committee for Dutchess County.
Oh.
We've reduced property taxes at the county level both years that I've been in office. As soon as I get that budget book, I go through it. I look line by line, compare it to all the previous years to make sure that we're not spending an enormous amount of money in one area that we hadn't before.
Mm-hmm.
We need to make sure that we're spending money efficiently and effectively, and that's what I want to do in Albany.
Yeah.
And so we have been able to reduce property taxes both years that I've been in. Another thing is the opioid crisis. That is enormous. We opened the Dutchess County Crisis and Stabilization Center last year.
Yes, I remember reading about that.
And that has been huge. We have so many people come in there, and really the main function of it is so it's a place for people who are suffering from addiction to go.
Yeah.
Because often the only places that they have had to go in the past are either the hospital or jail. So this is somewhere for them to go in between to get the help they need. And
is there a waiting list?
No, it should come in. It's a 24-hour service.
Oh, okay.
It's there. It's not a wow. place where you can stay for days on end. It's a 24-hour facility where you go and you can be there for 24 hours,
okay.
recover, get the help you need, and be pointed in the right direction. And that has been tremendously helpful in Dutchess County.
Do you feel like there's things that can be done in Albany to help address the issue better than?
Yeah, I think so, and I think we do need to look at these kinds of local examples, because I don't believe there is such a thing in most other counties in New York State.
No.
So these are facilities that we should have across the state in every county. And so that's something that I will advocate for.
With the hope that one day they'll be empty and put to another use.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And I guess the first thing that I really was proud to accomplish my first year in the legislature, the first budget cycle, I was aware that the Office for the Aging didn't have enough funding to provide meal delivery services for eligible seniors 5 days a week.
Really?
They were only getting it Monday through Thursday. And a lot of these seniors who really, I mean, on Thursday, they would get meals for those future days. But to bring funding for them, I thought was so important. So I made an amendment to bring the proper funding. So we now actually have the service so that we do deliver to them Monday through Friday.
Oh, nice.
Because it's tough. A lot of these seniors live at home by themselves.
Right.
They don't get out, so they don't have human interaction.
Right.
So
right.
having someone from the Office for the Aging staff come visit them on that Friday, it means so much to them.
Yeah. It's not necessarily about the food. It's about the company.
Exactly.
Yeah. So that was very good.
That's
very
another
good.
Thing I was really proud
Absolutely.
To work on.
Well, just to piggyback on that, you're also all about honoring our heroes by supporting expanded services for veterans. what would you add to what is already going on for veterans?
Yeah, well, I mean, so I look up to a man like Kieran Lawler, who's an assemblyman down in Dutchess. He represents the southern end. Him and some of his colleagues in the assembly are bringing forth some very positive bills for our veterans, like to allow them access into national landmarks for free so that they don't have to pay a cost. But yet the assembly majority, the Democrats, they put these bills on the kill list because a Republican sponsors it.
Yeah. That's
so it's just awful. We need to have more people up in Albany who are going to put the politics aside, and they're going to actually work in favor of our veterans, for our law enforcement, our emergency responders. It can't be politics. Politics can't come before people.
Yeah, it shouldn't. That's a good message right there. Politics should not come before people.
Mm-hmm.
I agree.
Well, I was thinking just to, because this is good where we get into the fluff questions.
You,
okay.
We gave you a heads up, though. Favorite movie, Will?
Well, so I don't watch a ton of movies. Actually, I'm watching Halloween things right now. It's Halloween time.
Did you see the new one?
So, no, I didn't. But
I haven't seen it yet either. I can't wait.
Yeah, they had a special down at the Galleria Mall in Poughkeepsie. They were playing the original Halloween, so I went with my sister.
Oh,
it was
gosh.
Nice. But actually, if for anyone who watches Netflix, I usually don't watch much on Netflix, but there's a new series that just came out, The Haunting of Hill House, which is a book by Shirley Jackson back in the 1950s, and it is amazing.
Really?
It is scary. It is terrifying.
You don't like scary movies?
It is great.
Oh, no.
So I binge watch that, and of course, late at night, I can't do it in the middle of the day or in the afternoon. I get home. I didn't get much sleep. I'd watch 3 hours every night. And
let's watch a scary show.
Yeah.
I would never sleep.
This show gets scary sometimes.
No.
Never.
No.
What is your guilty pleasure?
Oh, God, I don't know.
Ice cream. I know. I've seen
know.
That.
You've been Holly, because I'm very active on my social media. And
your
so
Instagram.
My Instagram.
How about that ice
I'm
cream?
I'm always posting after out door to door. I go out and get ice cream a lot. But
is there a particular flavor that you enjoy?
I'm kind of plain. I like vanilla, but like with like fudge or peanut butter on top. So
Justin, I'm waiting for you to ask Will about his skin.
He's got baby skin.
And I said
that to Mark Molinaro.
And Paul Chyka.
Paul Chyka.
You're
in the top three best skin. But then again, he's 23, so hello.
He better have nice skin.
I mean, come on.
Yeah, and like I was at a Meet the Candidates night last night in Stanford, and there were people saying, are you even 18? Can you even vote? I said, I just shaved this morning. And I did, but...
I would think that you were 17 or 16 just looking at you.
Yeah, I have a baby face, so I'll enjoy that in 10, 15 years, I guess.
Absolutely.
Right now, I do wish I could grow a beard, but...
That's okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so, well, no, we did song, we did movie, we did...
Color.
color.
Yeah, this is turning into the debate last night. I was surprised that
they ran out of stuff?
Sausage.
Oh, right. And then
they asked Cuomo his favorite
to sing, right?
No, well, song? Yeah. But they asked what temperature he wanted, if he could have a temperature set in his house, and he said 69.
Did they?
Oh, God.
They did.
Cuomo.
Oh, my God.
They were talking about Italian sausage. I'm like, okay, this is where the show goes off the rails.
Didn't he say that he only sings in the shower, so he invited the woman
Can
you imagine if someone, a Republican, had said that? Good Lord, it would have been front page news.
Yeah.
Such a double standard.
Yeah, color, I guess, I mean, I always like blue, I guess.
Oh, blue is a good
standard
color.
Boy color, but, I mean, there's the blue wave coming this year, apparently.
Well,
so
hey,
maybe I'll
like
blue.
I don't
like
pink. You can't say that.
My son loves pink, too. Yeah. He does like pink.
Yeah.
Well, we've got 20 seconds left, so Will, leave us with your parting thought.
I am truly looking forward to representing this district. I promise to be a voice for every single person who calls Dutchess and Columbia home. I'll advocate for them at